Well, welcome to our service. I hope you are keeping well. It is my joy to lead you in the Lord this morning. And we're back into Proverbs today. Many thanks to Mark for leading our service last week. It wasn't that I was off getting a haircut. It didn't take that long. I was with Kesgrave Baptist, which was a real blessing. Let's begin by reading a verse from Psalms. I'm going to read this verse and then just take a moment to ponder this truth and to be quiet before the Lord before we sing. So here we are, Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him.
Thank you.
Two very helpful songs. Let us bow our heads and pray together. Do join me in your heart. Heavenly Father, we praise you, for you are greatly exalted. And we want to come before you this morning in reverent fear. That is, knowing that you are God, giving you your rightful place in our hearts. Worshipping you, coming before you on bended knee with humble hearts, longing to give you the glory you deserve, to know that you are high and lifted up, and to come before you with great joy, with great thanksgiving, because you have cast your love upon us. You have sent the Son to save us. And so we praise you, and we ask that you would fill our hearts with joy in your presence now, that we would know the wonder of salvation, and we would give you the glory, and we would worship you, King Jesus, for you have saved us from our sin. And we ask that our souls would rise to bless you now. We pray that you would stir in us the joy of your salvation. And that as we gather this morning in this way, Lord, before you, before your word, in prayer, in songs, Lord, we pray that we would see Christ and we would hear the call of Christ afresh on our hearts and lives. And we would respond with eager hearts to your love and mercy towards us in wonder, praise, and right living back to you. Lord, we pray that you would give us discernment and wisdom in this world. Lord, we are greatly perplexed and troubled at times by the many things that go on around us and in our own lives and hearts as well. But Lord, we pray that you would continue and strengthen the work you have begun in us, that we would keep on the narrow way and be faithful to it. And so we pray that you would keep your church, you would bless your church, and you would strengthen us, Lord, in our love and service of you. And Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for the many souls that are lost. And we lift them before you. As it says in Psalm 9, verse 20, let the nations know that they are only mortal. Oh, Father, we pray that would be the case, that you would be at work in the lives of people in Ipswich, in England, that our nation, that is so needy in so many ways, would come to you, so needy but so disinterested in you, it seems. So much need, so much trouble and strife, but so few, it seems, calling out to you. Father, we pray you would bring a change in people's lives. We ask that you would be bringing people to the end of themselves, and they would come to the beginning of a wonderful walk with Jesus Christ. Lord, as a church, we pray that you would enable us to pray this daily, and Lord, on our hearts to see this come about. And we pray that our service of you and our prayer in this regard would be answered. That you'd be bringing more people amongst us. You'd be changing people's lives, causing people to come and desire to worship and live for you and to cast themselves upon you. Lord, we bring these things before you. You are our God. You are seated on the throne and we worship you. And Jesus, you are King of kings and Lord of lords and we worship you. And we thank you for hearing our prayers. Amen. Okay, well, we're going to come to the reading of God's word in Proverbs chapter 9. And before this is read to us, let's say one or two things about it. Firstly, let me ask a question. Have you ever been asked to two parties at the same time? Well, today's passage in Proverbs 9 is about two parties or two invitations. But you can only go to one of them. Now, before we get into this reading, have a little think about it, I'm going to give you all a role in this account in Proverbs chapter 9. So if you're at home, which is actually all of you, isn't it, apart from Michael. Hi, Michael. Michael's with me. If you're at home and you're sitting on a chair, now, I'm sorry about this, but I'd like you to be a mocker. Okay, so you're a mocker if you're on a chair. Don't be too offended. It doesn't mean you really are, but you're just for this, you know, purpose of this moment. If you're at home now and you're sitting on the sofa, okay, you are a wise person. Okay, now feel free to change where you're sitting if you really want to. If you're a chair, you're a mocker. If you're on the sofa, you're a wise person. All okay? Great. Okay. Well, Proverbs chapter 9. We firstly hear about Mrs. Wisdom's party. It's going to be this side. Okay, so this is the party that Mrs. Wisdom has set up. It says, Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars, prepared her meats, mixed her wine, set her table. Okay, and then come the invitations. It's coming on your screen now. Here's the invitation. Come to the best party. Come today and meet Jesus. Here's the invitation from Mrs. Wisdom. Is that everything that's on the invitation? No, there's something on the back. It says on the back, you can see there, please note, only come if you're not a know-all. Now, a know-all is someone who thinks they know all about God, all about Jesus, and so they don't need to know any more. And so they don't think they need to come to Mrs. Wisdom's party. That's what a know-all is. Some say, I'm not good enough to go to church. I'm not good enough to be a Christian. But the question actually is, are you bad enough? Because it's only people who know they're bad who read their Bibles and who come to Wisdom's party. So mockers, okay, people on chairs, this is your moment, because we see in chapter 9 in verses 7 and 8 that you don't actually want to go to Mrs. Wisdom's party because you don't think you need to. So just for today, mockers, you're allowed to do this only today. I want you in a moment to stick your tongue out, thumbs, fingers go like this, and you can no, 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 no. Okay, so the invitation comes, do you want to come to Mrs. Wisdom's party? Mockers, you say, no, 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 yeah, at Mrs. Wisdom's party. Good mocking, bad mocking. But wise people, okay, wise people, you on the sofa, what is your response to Mrs. Wisdom's party invitation? Well, we see in chapter 9, verses 8 and 9, it tells us that the wise person wants to come to this party because they know they need Jesus. So wise people, okay, if you're on the sofa, right, the invitation comes, do you want to come to Mrs. Wisdom's party? Thumbs up, can you do that? And you say, yes, oh yes, thank you, I'm on my way. Okay, great. What about the other party? We're also invited to this one. If you've got Proverbs 9 open, you'll see this in verse 13. Folly, this is Mrs. Folly's party. She's an unruly woman, simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point in the city. Okay, and she calls out to those who go by, come, let all simple come into my house. Now, Mrs. Folly also gives out invitations, and it's on the screen for you now. So come to Mrs. Folly's party, the most exciting party in the world. Come and do whatever you want. There's loads of cool stuff for free. Now, mockers, okay, if you're on a chair, which party do you want to go to? Well, Mrs. Folly's, of course, isn't it? Because it's free. You can do as you wish. There's no parents there to tell you what to do. But what do those who go to this party find? What and who is at this supposedly great party? Well, verse 18, listen to this. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests, Mrs. Folly, are deep in the realm of the dead. And if we look at the back of the invitation, we see on the back of the invite, in the small print, there's a warning, isn't there? Here it is, it's on the screen. Health warning. If you go to Mrs. Folly's party, you will end up dead. If you go, dear, I mean, it's not such a good party after all, is it? It's full of dead people. It's not as good as Mrs. Folly wanted us to think. These are the two parties in Proverbs 9 that we are all invited to. But you cannot go to both. You only go to one of them. Now, Mrs. Folly's sounded fun, but you end up dead. No more party. Mrs. Wisdom's perhaps doesn't sound as exciting, but it's much, much, much better in the long run. Now we're going to hear the whole of Proverbs 9 read to us, and Margaret Rogers, who is going to read it, it is very wise. Margaret may have been on a chair and maybe sitting on a chair for this reading, but she's actually very wise. Let's hear Proverbs chapter 9 read to us.
Today's reading is from Proverbs chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come and eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. May God bless his word to us today.
Thank you.
Well, let's come to the word of the Lord now that never fails, that endures forever. And let me begin by telling you that 20-something years ago, this ticket, which you probably can't see from there, but that's fine, but it was much desired because this was the last ticket for the graduation ball of my university. So I and another student who had the nickname Budgie, I can't quite remember why. I think he looked a bit like a budgerigar. But anyway, we did battle at this pre-party meal out to see which one of us would get this much sought-after ticket. And guess who won? Well, I've got it, haven't I? Yes, I did. That's right. Brilliant. The party wasn't actually much to write home about, but that didn't really matter. I won at least. Anyway, from two people trying to get to one party, and from not enough invites, let's come to Proverbs chapter 9, and we have two invites. The invitation to each of us comes for two parties. One invite to a party would be really unusual these days, and not to mention illegal, but two invites at the same time would be unheard of, wouldn't it? But we have this, all of us, each one, every single day, we have a double call on us as people. Come to my house, come my way, and we have a choice. We come to a fork in the road, two possible ways, and we are to choose wisely. Let's pray for wisdom and insight as we come to God's word now. Heavenly Father, would you speak to our hearts now? Let it be your voice we hear and enable our hearts to love your words and to be humble under your wisdom. And we ask this for your glory and for our good. Amen. So let's look together at the two invitations we find in Proverbs 9. The invitation of Lady Wisdom and the imitation of Lady Folly. And firstly, let's have a look at the preparation of these parties. We see chapter 9, verse 1, Lady Wisdom has gone to great effort. She even building her house. I have never built a house. I'm never going to build a house. I don't suppose many of you are as well. It is no small task, but she's a worker. This house has seven pillars. Why do we need to know that? Well, it tells us something of a size, but if you know numbers in the Bible, not the book, I mean the number seven, you'll know that it is a special number, the number of perfection in the Bible, completion. So what we have here is a woman of prudence, a household of strength, riches, honor, and it's full of good things. Verse 2, she's prepared her meat, she's mixed the wine, she's set the table. What a setup. She's hardworking, organized. She's thought things through. She's cultured and classy, isn't she? Especially in comparison to Lady Folly, whose invite is quite contrasting. See verse 13, the preparation. It says she's an unruly woman. There's no class or discipline in view here, is there? Instead, she lacks sense. So there's no order here. There's no hard work. It appears she's done nothing. No preparation. The stuff for the party. You see where it's from? Verse 17. It's stolen. Well, that is how her house is built. And back to verse 14. She sits at the door of her house. And you could picture her quite easily, kind of lounging on the front step, fag hanging out of her mouth. It's not a great picture. And it's not a great party. But look at verses 4 and 16. And secondly, we see that the invites are exactly the same. So verse 4, let all who are simple come to my house. Verse 16, let all who are simple come to my house. Exactly the same. Now, we've had a bit of inside information and we can see that these parties are clearly different. But to the man in the street, the invitation is the same. And that is because folly in this world doesn't have a jester's hat on with bells kind of jingling away. You know, she's not wearing massive clown shoes. There's no label that she says, you know, I'm actually really stupid. And this is why discernment is needed, because the world's wisdom dresses up as real wisdom. People don't say, actually, be careful when you listen to me because I'm actually really stupid and I'm going to lead you astray. You don't hear people saying that, do you? No, instead, this world's wisdom is often very attractive and it's got kind of pithy little sound bites. You know, things like be true to yourself. That's doing the rounds at the moment, isn't it? And that sounds kind of good, really. It's got some good ingredients. Be true. It's important we're truthful to yourself. It's important we look after ourselves. But it's absolute folly to make being true to what we individually feel and think the basis of our lives. Imagine a mugger who has just robbed you of your phone and they're running off down the street shouting, sorry, I'm just being true to myself. I just love stealing stuff. I'm just accepting who I am. And okay, that's an extreme example. But the philosophy behind much of today's worldly wisdom is living by what is and is not acceptable to you. No one can tell you except you, and especially not God. So go after what you want. You're the game changer. You're in charge. You're the boss of you. You set the rules, the ground rules and the boundaries. And we wonder why there is such disunity in our world. Because being too true to ourselves is individualistic nonsense. It does away with external truth, moving far, far from the foundations of biblical truth, throwing off ultimate authority and accountability, doesn't it? It doesn't work, and it's not true. And it's just one example, really, of how worldly wisdom dresses up as real wisdom today. So there's the first two, the preparation, the invitation is the same. Thirdly, so is the location of the invitation. So do we see where Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly both call from? Verse 3, Wisdom sends out servants and calls from the highest point of the city. You see that in verse 3? Verse 14, Folly sits on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to all those who pass by. I mean, we could picture these two kind of jockeying for position on the highest point, trying to shout over each other, kind of elbows out. And in reality, that's actually what's going on in the truth war. But let's picture them a bit like these two parties as two high points in the city. And all the people, us included, if you like, on the streets below. So up above, on one high point, is wisdom calling. And over there, on another high point, is folly shouting, come this way. Two parties, two invitations, two calls. This is, of course, one of the big themes of Proverbs, of the whole Bible, actually. Two voices, two choices, two ways, a fork in the road, a decision needed to be made. Go the way of God's wisdom or go the way of folly. Go God's way or go the world's way. Now, the highest point mentioned in this passage represents the place of power and supremacy, doesn't it? Think the Tower of Babel. Think Mount Sinai. Think of the temple in Jerusalem built on the mount there, wasn't it? Think church steeples in villages across the land. Think skyscrapers in cities across the world. The highest point, because the point being made is that the highest is the most powerful, it's the most influential. And God is in the highest place. Now let us know this, let us remind ourselves and be reminded that God alone has set his glory above the heavens because he alone is high and lifted up. God is without equal. He is awesome in character. He's awesome in word and deeds. He is full of glory. He is full of power. He is full of splendor. God reigns. He's enthroned. He towers over you. He towers over me. He towers over all the works of his hand, everyone and everything in might and majesty. God alone occupies top spot. And Christ is the wisdom of God. And Christ is God's King who has been appointed, Revelation 5, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But this world sets itself up in opposition. And this is what the writer is picturing here to us. How the world seeks the highest place. How God's rivals elevate themselves. But our way is better, they say. It is the way. At Psalm 2, they rise up against the Lord and his anointed. Let us throw off the shackles of this God stuff. Let us set up our own truth, standard of truth, our own way. And this, of course, is the battle which rages for each heart and mind as all religions and ideas claim supremacy. But just because many voices set themselves up on high points and they maybe, you know, seem the most influential on our TVs, on our radios, on the internet, it doesn't mean they're the truth. In fact, because everyone's so afraid of upsetting each other these days, many popular ideologies don't claim to be the truth. They don't claim to be the voice, the way, just another one that's worthy. It's more the message is, you come to us, or you can come to them, or you can go there. You're free to choose. You go to where's what's right for you. That's kind of the message. But there's one place they will say, do not go, and that is to Christianity. Why? Well, look at verse 6. Because only Christianity says you must leave your simple ways. Only true wisdom, only God tells us that we're foolish. But folly doesn't do that. You know, people like the wisdom of this world. It's much easier to get along with, isn't it? You can't be offended if anything goes. But God's wisdom is that not anything does go, or everything. God's wisdom is the high point that this world constantly desires to pull down. Because Christianity unashamedly says, Christ is the only way. You must leave these things behind. And let me ask you, if you're a Christian listening, are you willing to stand on this truth in these days we're in today? Are you willing to risk being unpopular and hold to the truth of God and his Son? Well, we've seen the preparation. We've looked at the invitation. We've looked at the location of the invitation. Let's ask for a minute, what's being offered? Well, let's start with folly. We see verse 17. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. Now, the offer is of the excitement of stolen secret things. Things are a little bit naughty. Things which make them seem more appealing, more fun. Secret things, double lives, because it's the kind of exciting way to live, as it were. So I might have, you know, 3 children from 3 different men. And yeah, weekends, birthdays, Christmases are pretty complicated. But my chaotic life is exotic. See, unwise living today is less and less frowned upon. Instead, it's packaged as exciting and trendy. I mean, think how the media seeks to normalize the sexual revolution today. Certain stories, certain articles are just put front and center, aren't they? so that they're on our consciences, chipping away our thinking all the time, seeking to promote. I wonder if you notice how Drag UK is promoted so widely today. The Bible is bang up today. It absolutely knows the schemes of the devil to sway people, to enslave people. So the appeal is that living differently, living unconventionally, living a little bit risque is actually the way. Because you only live once, don't you? You don't want to miss out, that kind of thing. But what does wisdom offer? This is verse 5. Come eat my food, drink the wine I've mixed. Come and be fed well. It's not stolen. It's not underhand. It's the product of wisdom. It's not that anything goes. There's a cost. Not the cost of being caught out, of the secret affair coming to light and the painful fallout which follows. But verse 6, the cost is leave your simple ways and reject the world's wisdom. So that's what's offered. How do the parties end? Let's think about the outcome. Well, verse 6, dine with wisdom, walk in the way of understanding and insight and live. But verse 18, make the world's wisdom your house, and you actually enter a house of death. See the deception? Verse 17, come on. Yes, it's going to be fun. It's an exciting party. You do what you like. It's everything you ever want. Everything you ever need. Break into song from The Greatest Showman. It's just a bit of harmless fun. Let's not get all serious about this. But the punchline is very firm. Verse 18, you go in and you find that everyone at the party is dead. Little do they know the dead are there. Her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. The imitation of the world's wisdom is in a small print. Go to Mrs. Folly's party and there's just bones everywhere. Because not one who went there found life or found eternal life in that house. Those present, the world's wisdom, are spiritually dead. It's a murder mystery meal. It's just gone too far. It promises fun but delivers death. Well, lastly, let's come to the choice. Two parties, two ways, one choice. Joshua's words in the Old Testament ring true for us today as ever before. Choose this day who you will serve. And that's what verses 7 to 12 are all about. Being wise, or you see the word used a lot in verse 7 there, verse 8, being a mocker. We're not talking coffee. We'll explain what a mocker is in a moment. But before we do, the structure of this little central section is a chiasm. Okay, so it's a poetry tool designed to point us to the central thing. You get this a lot, particularly in the Old Testament. So verses 7 to 9, you have a mocker and then you have a wise person. Verses 11 to 12, you've got a wise person and you've got a mocker. And what have you got in the middle in verse 10? You've got the key. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord. That is the key. So the structure of this passage is mocker, wise, God, wise, mocker. To make the point of who we must be and how we must be that. And our trusting in the Lord with all our heart is vital. Going the wise way comes down to our hearts. So to choose wisdom, to choose life, we need a change of heart. And Proverbs shows us three types of people we don't want to be. Okay, so here's the three main types we don't want to be in Proverbs. First, it's the simple. We've had it in this passage, don't we, a few times. It's used a lot in Proverbs to refer to the unthinking person. It's the person who just wants to live how they want to live. Just kind of, you know, rolling along, hoping that things don't matter. They'd rather not think things through. They'd rather put things off. you know, they're gullible, green behind the ears. Chapter 14, verse 15, the simple believe everything, it says. And they believe it by intention, or they believe it because they're young, inexperienced. And in Proverbs 9, we are actually all pictured as the ones in the road in this city with these high points, the simpletons having to make a choice. That's how we're pictured in Proverbs 9. The next type of person in Proverbs is the fool. And this, of course, is a step down from the simple. It's one who likes their own opinions and it just will not shift. So chapter 14, verse 16, the fool is hot-headed, yet feels secure. And then last and in greatest peril is the mocker. And of course, this person is in our passage, chapter 9, verse 8. If you correct this person, well, they're just going to insult you. If you rebuke them, you're just going to expect a barrage of abuse back. Verse 8, you know, you try and help them, they're just going to hate you for it. And we get the picture. And chapter 15, verse 12 sums them up. Mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. You see, the simple kind of says, well, how can I know? The fool says, well, I do know, there's no God. The mocker, step further, well, your God's a load of rubbish, and this I certainly do know. And you can appeal to the simple. The fool will likely kind of counter strongly, but the mocker is often best left, lest we cast our pearls before swine. So these three represent the kind of slippery slope we must avoid and instead seek wisdom. And to be wise, for us to go to the right party, something has to go. It's in verse 6, it's pride. We must want wisdom, God's wisdom, above and at the expense of our pride. We must want it more. Be willing, verse 6, to leave our simple ways, to love rebuke, verses 8 and 9, instruction and teaching. I mean, who loves rebuke and correction? It's not something we automatically love. I mean, some love it, that they pay for it, don't they? I mean, think of an athlete and their coach. You know, think of someone who has a personal trainer. You know, in some fields, we'll pay someone to rebuke us and correct us because we know there's no growth without criticism. And so too with the Bible. Unless we are humble to accept the brutal assessment the Bible makes of us in our sin, unless we receive its rebuke and unless we repent, we will not listen to the invite of wisdom's party. And we cannot receive life. This invitation to life can only be accessed through humility before the Lord, reverence for him. That's verse 10. How? Verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Wisdom comes from God. It comes from being close to the one who knows everything, who knows how we should live and who gave himself so that we can live. So we must learn to fear God. And that isn't cowering in a corner. That isn't speaking in these and thous. It's living in reverence to him and so living in reference. The fear of the Lord is the positive response of our hearts to the greatness of God. It's not being flippant or casual towards him, but it is being so overwhelmed with his glory, with his majesty, that we have a profound respect, for he is vastly superior to us. And so we take God seriously, more than anyone or anything in the world. It's God's voice we need to listen to. It's God who needs to occupy the highest place in our hearts. It is God's work and wisdom in us which forgives and which pushes down on our pride so Christ can be exalted in us. And the result, see verse 11, Wisdom rewards many days, years added. Wisdom brings great rewards. But for the mocker, verse 12, just one thing, suffering. Which invitation we accept is everything, because the decision determines life now and life to come. And before we have a final song, I wonder if we might take a moment to think in quiet before the Lord. I'll give some prompts, and then let's take a moment's quiet. We're bombarded by the foolishness of this world all the time. Or we certainly can be if we watch a lot of television and the internet and so on. Let me ask, have you been discerning of late? Or are you actually being fooled by the world's ways? Are you buying into its lies? Verse 17. Or let me ask, how's your walk on the narrow way going? Are you keeping in the guardrails that God puts there for us in his wisdom? Are you heading forwards? Are you growing in godliness? Or have you of late been stumbling, maybe wandering, attracted, and perhaps engaging in the world's foolish ways, which ultimately head to death? Just take 10 seconds, 20 seconds. Let's take some quiet to bring ourselves before the Lord. Then I'll lead us to the next song. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you to be our guide. We are prone to wander. We are gullible and get fooled and drawn in by the world's wisdom at times. And then we're often heading in the wrong way. We pray that we would know the fear of the Lord. Father, that we would live in reverence of you. And each day, each moment in reference to you. That our biggest goal, our greatest treasure and aim would be to please you. To obey your word and follow your wise ways. And Spirit, we know that as we seek you and draw on the strength and wisdom which comes from your word through Jesus Christ, you can make this happen in us. This can be a reality for us. That we, instead of stumbling and slipping and sitting down and going backwards in our walk with Christ, we can press on. We can hear the call of wisdom and we can go in the right direction and find life. So we pray you would enable us to do this. Would your good hand, with your strengthening, enabling, converting power for some for the first time, be at work in us right now. We ask this for your glory, for our salvation and sanctification, we pray. Amen. What a joy to look at this passage with you. Let's go out with a song to follow up, a great song. Guide me, O my great Redeemer. Pilgrims through this land. That's what we are. We're pilgrims and we're heading somewhere. So do join in, and God bless until next time.